It's Monday, July 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you today. And yes, I went to the optometrist today and got a new set of glasses. So you can see my prescription has changed quite a little bit. So we'll talk about that here in a second. But meanwhile, strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. And as soon as I started the show tonight, yes, I'm wearing my glasses. I was hearing feedback come back through on one of the computers. I think I've got it solved. I don't hear it no more. No, I still hear it. I think I know where it's coming from. Let me see if I can quench that noise. There's always something, and it's because I changed up the system a little bit, and... I turned the volume down, but it didn't change nothing. We'll see if that solves it, but do I still hear it? I don't think I do. Okay, so must be I got it. Yeah. We'll talk about why I had new feedback, and no, yes, it has something to do with my glasses, obviously, here that are affecting my visual sense, but... Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners and subscribers of the show. Thanks for joining our monkey business here. And I still hear it. Where is it coming from? Okay, that's off. So hopefully that did it. And we want to welcome our listeners from 185 countries worldwide. And make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And if you feel like after watching this escapade that we're worth subscribing to, feel free to get subscribed to the show. You'll find there on the first column of the website, or second column of the website, you'll find the locations via RSS or via iTunes. Well, that was beautiful. We're all kinds of organized tonight. I feel like I'm in a brand new studio and nothing has changed. But anyway, you'll find locations there to sign up for iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or via the RSS feed on the website. And basically subscribe to the shows and feel free to check out the Saturday Morning Tech Show, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, the Chrome Show, and of course our special media, all delivering a video to you today. And of course we've got this show and many of our other shows are also delivering an audio feed as well. And our newsletter really contains everything that I covered during the show and that basically I will be sending that out immediately following the show. It'll contain all the links to all the different articles that I get to if I ever can get through the mess of stuff here. And the newsletter really is our way of reminding you that there's a new show out in the street. Of course, this show is produced every Monday and Thursday night. One-man switching machine here. Along, and it's of course released every Tuesday and Friday. The Chrome Show is released every Sunday. Saturday Morning Tech is on Saturday, of course. We've got Robot Underpants that comes out on Mondays. Gadget Professor on Thursday. So full lineup of programming for you to check out on the website. And you can reach out and call me an idiot here tonight on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me geeknews@gmail.com, or you can even call us on our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And do I seem unorganized tonight? Well, my wife arrived home from Japan this morning, and her and I have been talking about what's happened there and getting her bags unpacked. And, you know, just it's really, and her and I were chatting all the way up to about 15 minutes before the show started tonight. And I said, I've got everything all arranged, and I'm not going to have to rush in here and take care of everything. But I didn't have the video turned on so you could see the screen. I didn't have the audios muted on the machines. We're actually recording to a second machine tonight, so I had to actually switch monitors and get that turned off. So, because I'm not supposed to be hearing myself only through this earphone, and it exactly wasn't that. So, talk about trying to fix things in a hurry. So what this weekend, past weekend was a weekend of discovery here, and I basically got done with the Saturday morning tech. I post-produced a show, got it up online. Sunday, I recorded the Chrome show, got it all recorded, and I was reviewing the recording, and I kept hearing this pop, 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 pop in the audio track. And I'm trying to think, well, do I have a level set too high? So, I mean, I'm adjusting everything out, and I go back and pull up the master recordings, and I'm not hearing the audio. I'm not hearing this pop, pop, pop in the audio track. And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what's changed? And I'm thinking, okay, Lion has changed. There's been an update to the Mac software. So could have there been a change? Could there be a driver messed up on one of our video capture cards? I went and checked for that and downloaded it. Long story short, it's a combination of a couple of things. It was end up being a combination of the update in Final Cut, and also the upgrade in Lion, and also tied back to one of our video capture devices. There's still Blackmagic still getting back to me. We were working on the phone on it today. But there was basically an issue. Everything would sound good when we were in Final Cut. Everything, the video was perfect. And as soon as I would send the video to Compressor, which is really the final step in getting the show format into the package I need to send you guys, and all of a sudden we heard this pop, pop, pop noise. We figured out a workaround, but it took quite a few hours on Sunday to do that. And I went back and was listening to a couple of the archives. And of course, Thursday's show that was released has a discernible audio pop in it, which I didn't catch in the final production last week. So, you know, me being, you know, you can suck on the video, but you can't suck on the audio. The audio has to be dialed in. It has to be right. Because, you know, that's nothing more annoying than hearing something in the audio track that you shouldn't be hearing. And so anyway, got it figured out. Long story short, it was a weekend of discovery, and the folks at Blackmagic are trying to figure out what's going on. Because I've told you guys in the past, I've really worked to streamline my workflow here. And the TriCaster is a beautiful piece of art. It does a lot of stuff for switching, and it'll capture a super great high-def quality video. But in order to get that into the M4V or MP format that I wanted in is a couple of step process, because it records to an MPEG format in .AVI, and you got to pull it out of AVI and go to MP4, you know, and so and I don't like extra steps. So I bought this this box from Blackmagic. It's an H.264 encoder that gives me just as a high quality of a video capture fed off the TriCaster from an SDI port. Now that's really technical stuff here, but long story short, it saved me about 30 to 35 minutes a night in post-processing. And that's big when you're in this business and you're a one-man show here in a studio, and you know, you're trying to keep your family happy and everything else. So anyway, that was what was going on with that. And on top of it, we did the Saturday Morning Tech. We had a CES 2012 planning meeting, our first planning meeting, and I actually got to get that recording out for the guys that weren't able to attend. So we're already looking at some big numbers for going into CES this year, and you know, here it is July, and I'm planning for an event in January already, just like we did last year. But really, all that would not be possible here without our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And I've got a great deal for you, and this really is... The time is running short on this, okay? You need to take action today on this specific deal. Now, you want to visit GoDaddy.com to check out this particular promotion. As a matter of fact, you can link to it from my website. There's a banner on the website that basically talks about the hosting promotion. This is a special offer. You get 3 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99 a month. Okay, so when you go over to the hosting page, you're not going to see this yellow banner like those of you that are watching the video see. If you click my banner on my website at Geek News Central and come to the hosting site, it will automatically load. Actually, this is where it's going to send you to. So if you sign up for the economy hosting plan at $4.99 a month, it's going to cost you $1.99 for the first 3 months. Do not sign up for a one-year thing, okay? Because I'm going to show you how to maximize your savings. So you sign up for the 3 months, okay? So $6 is it's going to cost you for 3 months of hosting. Then at the end of that 3 months, when you're ready to update, you go ahead and come over to my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Find a promo code there that matches the best savings you can get on the renewal of that hosting account. And you sign up for 12 months and you can use a 20% off code. You can use Geek5. You can use my Todd code. You can pick a code there that works the best for your renewal. And that way you get a double savings and we'll save you a lot of money. Of course, on any product over at GoDaddy.com, you can save a lot of cash by basically using any of my specific promo codes. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Lots of great deals. We even got .co domains for $13.99 by using a promo code Geek1399. And then, of course, the code to save money on the brand new hosting plan is I think it's Geek77 if you get to the checkout counter and it hasn't applied it. But again, it's on the economy hosting, okay? So be careful there. Geek77 is that promo code. So anyway, let's talk about a few more things here. If you're going to be attending a conference, whether it be a tech conference or a social media conference, definitely consider being our eyes and ear on the ground. We're looking for freelance writers that are going to shows. Matter of fact, we missed out on someone here in Honolulu going to Comic Con. I guess that's what it was called. Last week, we could have had someone there. So if you're getting ready to go to a conference, offset some of your expenses by being a freelancer for us, okay? Email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Let me know a couple weeks in advance where you're going, and we'll share with you the details and requirements. And if you feel like you're up to it, you can make some money on the side while you go to the show, and you don't even have to have a press pass. You'll be there as a freelancer for us. Still hiring writers. I did get a submission from someone in the audience to send me an email, so I'll be getting back to them. So I'm still looking for a couple more writers here at Geek News Central. So, you know, definitely email me at geeknews@gmail.com, and that will get you dialed in here to me. Send me some information about yourself, and if you've done any writing before, we'll get you on as a potential writer here. What else in my stack here? Yeah, show goes home. Oh, what we did Saturday. Barnes & Noble, of course, is going out of business, right? So we took the kids to the clearance. And boy, oh boy, it was kind of interesting because, you know, everyone's was in there looking for deals. And it's, you know, it's pretty sad that they're closing and, you know, going out of business and, Borders. Is it Borders? I was going, where were we at? Yes, Borders. Jeez, not Barnes and Noble, but Borders. And so everyone was in there trying to get some deals. And my kid told me, my son told me, Dad, why do we need to buy books? And I'm like, well, they're on sale, Chris. He goes, can't we just get them for the Kindle or for the iPad and just order them that way? And I thought that was kind of an interesting dynamic that would my 7-year-old would make that observation. But yeah, it was a feeding frenzy at Borders, not Barnes and Nobles. Jeez, getting my store screwed up here. They had fun. They picked out some stuff that was relatively cheap, but the place was getting ransacked and in a bit. People are just trying to get it every good. And there wasn't that many good deals. And I'm sure as it goes on and they get closer to shutting the stores down, it'll get better for sure. So anyway, that was kind of an interesting antidote of what was going on here this weekend. Hey, let's take care of a little more business here and we'll get down the road with the show like we need to. And I want to take just a minute here and talk about Carbonite. You know, Carbonite, you know, I got the drive here tonight. Last time we did, I talked about this. Let's see if I can find the right link there. I hear actually there's a phone ringing in the house somewhere. Hopefully someone will pick that up. So anyway, this drive that I'm holding in my hands was the drive that nearly cost me 2 years worth of photos. This drive, it's a Maxter drive of all drives. And, you know, I basically thought I had a good backup plan set up, thought I was doing everything that was necessary to make sure that none of my data was lost. Had a good offsite backup plan by putting hard drives in a safety deposit box. And lo and behold, when this drive blew, down the drain went 2 years worth of images. And ultimately, I think it cost me about $800 to get those recovered. Now, at the time, I don't think Carbonite was in business, but I am surely glad that they are today. Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your other computer files automatically by backing them up whenever you're online. When you have your, you know, your inevitable disaster, when this is going to happen to you at some point, Carbonite makes it easy to get your backed up files back with a few clicks. Carbonite has helped restore 7 billion computer files that otherwise might have been lost forever. And with Carbonite, you can access your backed up files privately from any computer on your smartphone or iPad with a free app. Unlimited backups for your PC or Mac with anytime, anywhere access is only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month for really ease of mind. So start your free 15-day trial at Carbonite.com. No credit cards required. Use the offer code TPN and you get 2 free months if you decide to buy the $59 yearly subscription. So you get basically 14 months for the price of 12. Again, that's Carbonite.com and offer code for 2 free months is TPN. So let me put on my glasses here so I can really read well. You know, these are some glasses my wife brought back from me from Japan, and she figured that, you know, half the time I don't listen, so she figured she'd be able to, you know, get some glasses for me so at least I could read stuff when I was doing the show. And I'm going to tell you, these are not my prescription. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the tech content here. And I've got a great stack of stuff for you here tonight. And I actually had done a call out on Google Plus. Oh, we got a Roku to give away, right? Yes, we do. Let's give the Roku away now. And I'll actually announce the new contest now. This was by far our biggest response ever. Biggest response ever to a giveaway. And I've done a lot of giveaways through the past. My email, I think some of you are not fans that were, because there's names here I have never heard of before. But I guess the word got out. If you're all fans, my goodness, you know, write us more often. You know, it's real easy to do so. You can write me here at geeknews@gmail.com and don't be afraid to do so. Okay. I want to say congratulations to Mason Manny, who's going to win the Roku 2. Mason is out of Fargo, North Dakota. Congratulations to Mason, and I have your address here, Mason. So immediately following the show tonight, I will order your Roku 2 and have it on the way. And this makes it a lot easier for communications. But anyway, congratulations to Mason for winning a Roku 2. Now, what else I'm going to do, since we had such a big response, we're going to turn right around and we're going to give another one away on the next show. All right, so we're going to do two back-to-back. If you are following me on Google Plus, you need to basically email me and say, I'm following you on Google Plus, and send me your email address that's tied to your Google Plus account. I'll follow you back. And if I'm not already following you, So all you got to do is say, yes, Todd, I'm following you on Google Plus. If you don't have an invite for Google Plus, I'll send you one. So all you got to do is follow me on Google Plus and we'll get you in the next contest, okay? So again, if you're following me already, send me your email that you're on Google Plus with. Two, if you don't have one, I'll get you an invite. Just add me. Just follow me in the system and I'll follow you, of course, as well back. And that'll put you in the running for another Roku 2 on Thursday show. All right, so that's how that's going to work. All right, here we go for, and basically put in Google Plus in the Google Plus Roku in the subject line. That'll help me out. First thing I want to do is I found this great video, and it's so good, I want to share it with you guys. It's not done under Creative Commons, but this thing has been copied all over the place. There's like 20 times this thing is on YouTube already, but it's a little long and it's probably going to impact me show wise, but I really want you guys to hear this. And this is a video. This is The Future of NASA with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I'll have the link up to it in the show notes, but I think he really hits home with things I feel about the space program as well. But I wanted to share this with you guys. I just think it's so awesome. I know it's long. We got a lot of tech to get into. So I'm going to, you know, as soon as this is done, we're going to go fast. So let me go ahead and play this here for you now.
Let's start out by asking, what is NASA to us? Oh. To us as a nation? What is NASA? If I had a nickel for every time someone said, why are we spending money up there when we have problems down here? You know, at some point, you gotta look up. In the current plan, it promotes the commercial access to low Earth orbit, a couple of hundred miles up where the space station and space shuttle goes. Low Earth orbit is no longer a space frontier. The original Space Act from 1958 says NASA needs to advance a space frontier. Low Earth orbit is to boldly go where hundreds have gone before. It's not a frontier anymore. Move NASA to the next step. What does the program allow? It says we're not going to the moon anymore. Maybe we'll go to Mars one day. I don't know when, but let's work on some technology that might enable that someday. That worries me, because without a plan to go somewhere outside of low Earth orbit, we've got no force operating on the educational pipeline of America.
I agree.
NASA, as best as I can judge, is a force of nature like none other. I have never seen, with all due respect to other federal agencies, I have never seen eighth graders say, when I grow up, I want to be an NSF researcher or an NIH researcher. With all due respect to those agencies, they do important scientific work, but they are unknown and invisible at the age where people choose what they want to be when they grow up. And so what worries me is that if you take away the manned program, a program which, if you advance frontiers, you make heroes are made, okay? There's a force operating on the educational pipeline that will stimulate the formation of scientists, engineers, mathematicians, and technologists, the STEM research fields. You birth these people into society. They're the ones that make tomorrow come. The foundations of economies in this, the 21st century, will issue forth from investments we make in science and technology. That we've known since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution. We have known that those nations that embrace those investments are those that lead the world. America is fading right now. Fading. By the way, how much does NASA cost? It's a half a penny on a dollar. Did you know that? The people who say, why are we spending money up here, down? I ask them, how much do you think we're spending? They say 5 cents, 10 cents on a dollar. It's a half a penny. A half a penny. That buys the space station, the space shuttles, all the NASA centers, the rovers, the Hubble telescope, all the astronauts, all of that. Nobody's dreaming about tomorrow anymore. NASA knows how to dream about tomorrow. If the funding can accommodate it, the funding can empower it, the funding can enable it, Yeah, you need good teachers, no doubt about it, but the teachers come and go, because I go to the next grade. Teachers can help light a flame, but I need something to keep the flame fanned. It's about the effect of NASA on who and what we are as a nation, what we have been as a nation, perhaps for a while there, took it for granted. I see the most powerful particle accelerators in some other country, the fastest trains are built by Germany and are running in China right now. I see our infrastructure collapsing, no one dreaming about tomorrow, and everybody thinks they can put a Band-Aid on one problem or another. The most powerful agency on the dreams of a nation is currently underfunded to do what it needs to be doing, and that's making dreams come true. And at a half a penny on a dollar, how much would you pay for the universe?
Well, I think you got my point. I think you did a great job here on this. And I like the speech, and I believe wholeheartedly in the program. And I hope that, budget constraints aside, I hope that NASA is able to continue funding the space program. Because what kid didn't sit in a school and think at some point in their life, man, I want to be an astronaut? And so many have. So pretty motivational. I liked it. It was good. I was holding up something here on the screen for those of you watching. Twitter has jumped the shark when my wife brings home a little fan from Japan that says Twitter on the front. I just love this. So when you guys see this, you're going to laugh. Twitter has definitely jumped the shark. So, but anyway, what do you guys think? What do you guys think of the video on YouTube? I have the link up in the show notes, geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your feedback. Hey, the folks over at Mozilla have come up with two of the top dogs over there have come up with a vision and basically talking about a newer era in internet with the browser and where Mozilla as a foundation is going. It's a good read. And then there was another write-up by one of the top dogs talking about how Mozilla is fighting for the user. So I think those are two pretty good reads that I have linked up in the show notes for you to check out and have those linked up. Of course, one thing I want to talk about for a second here is Jeffrey Powers wrote up a pretty good article on applying for a job via LinkedIn or Monster. There's been a lot of updates on these sites as of recently, and our most recent two hires at Raw Voice, one of the guys we hired we found through LinkedIn, and another person we found through Munster. So, you know, those services work. You know, we hired two people that are full-time employees with us that came through those two sites. So if you're unemployed right now and you're not using LinkedIn as a potential job source site, definitely consider it. Of course, all of you should be using Munster already anyway. And Jeffrey's got a good write-up on that. Let me turn this volume down a little more. A little knob down there I have to turn down for the secondary audio that gets fed off one of my machines. Hey, Clearwire has announced today a clear spot for G. They basically come up with a little hockey puck. And this is going to be for those of you that probably already have Clear accounts. But you're going to be able to pick this up for $99 on I think you're going to have to do a 36-month or a 24-month plan with them. And plans start at $35 a month, where you go all the way up to unlimited mobile data running you 45. Up to 8 machines can connect to this. You guys know that I've got a MiFi back here that I've been using from Verizon. I've been very happy with it. It's gotten some pretty awesome speeds, and we've been using it since the LTE turn on here in Honolulu last week. But I will say that my Clear connection is nowhere near, and I've got 4G Clear here in Honolulu, is nowhere near as fast as the Verizon LTE. Not even close. Not even in a ballpark. Time travel. There's always been a hypothesis that we could do time travel if we can get moving fast enough. But scientists have basically proved one of Einstein's theories, and basically some Hong Kong physicists say they approved that a single photon obeys Einstein's theory that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. demonstrating that outside science fiction, time travel is impossible. So while that some of us are going to say shucks, it definitely is also a little bit makes you think a little bit, because we're not going to get anywhere very fast, even at the speed of light. You think at speed of light you can get somewhere quick, but you can't. I know that we'll never see it in our lifetime, but definitely there is some science to go behind that. You know, one of the very, very basic elements doesn't move any faster than the speed of light. Well, in France, you know, they get that three strikes law, right? Well, a 54-year-old school teacher who says, supposedly, that he doesn't know how to download movies off the internet is the first person to be kicked off the internet in France. There's actually 10 folks that are under consideration, but this guy apparently had an open Wi-Fi source, and people were using his Wi-Fi to download stuff they shouldn't, and he is off the internet for life, and he is obviously very upset. And he can't figure out how he's going to survive without having internet connection. And he's going to have to appeal to a European court outside of France, which could entail significant travel expenses for him and a lawyer and so forth. But how much would you pay to get back on the internet if you were convicted or actually accused of what, you know, basically under three strikes law? So I just can't see this lasting. How can you tell someone you're off the internet for life? How can you just, to me, it's unfathomable that they could do that in this day and age. You know, the internet's like water. You got to have it. You know, some people may contest that, but, you know, I don't know. I just, life would be much more difficult, that's for sure. Well, the SEO scam artists are at it already. An SEO shop has put 50 Google Plus ones on sale. All you do is pay $9.99 and they will have 50 minions. Minions, in other words, 50 workers, go out and do plus ones on articles that you have written on your website to try to game the Google search index. I'm sure this will be effective for about a week when Google starts mapping all these people that are again and again, you know, crowdsourcing to a specific article. I'm sure this could be real effective. And these are this group is kind of a group of, well, the company's got, you know, tactics that are very questionable. But what happens when, you know, some legitimate companies get in here and start doing the same, you know, doing the same thing? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But it didn't take them too long to get that that underway to try to game the ranking system. Apple is testing Mac OS X 10.7.2. And basically what's going on here is that they're starting to introduce the iCloud features, and in conjunction with the same time that they're rolling revs to the iOS devices. So they're telling developers of iPhone developers or iPhone and iPad app developers, you've got to roll to this next version of Lion in order to be on par with the beta version of iOS that we're sending you. That's one of the new requirements. So little bit by little, we may start to see the cloud stuff getting ready to pop here by Apple if they're getting that close. Today, for a short time, if you had was paying attention to the news wires, you would have been able to see Facebook's iPad app hidden inside of their iPhone app. Apparently, there was a quick little thing you could do to trick the current iPhone app into actually running as an iPad app, full screen, and it had all the functionality that you would expect from an iPad app, full screen and everything. This was discovered yesterday, but immediately, probably within about 4 or 5 hours of this being discovered, then Facebook started to try to close the holes so people couldn't see it. But they got all the screenshots, all the stuff was on the street on what basically was going on with that. So I don't know if you guys have been waiting for the Facebook app for the iPad, but if you want to see all the images of what's forthcoming, I'll have the link, of course, in the show notes to this article that was over on TechCrunch this morning about the, and it has a link to all the different images that are available there. And it looks pretty slick. I went through and looked at these myself today and was, you know, relatively impressed with what they have done with that. One thing I didn't like today is I loaded the Google Plus app And I mean, yeah, the Google Plus app. And as soon as I did, it basically updated my settings and my profile. And I automatically started getting, basically every time someone commented on something or replied to something, I was getting these text messages. It was driving me bonkers. So make sure that if you load the Google Plus app on your iPhone, that you go right into your profile and shut stuff off that you don't want being sent to your phone. Because if not, it'll drive you insane, especially if you're getting a lot of comments and people replying to stuff that on comment threads that you're already working with. Apple has released, or actually the New York City Metropolitan Transit Authority has released a mock-up of what the new Apple Store is going to look like inside of Grand Central Station. And it's gorgeous. As you would expect, they're keeping the motif of Grand Central Station, matching colors, and this is pretty amazing. And this was run over on Gizmodo, but the actual source article for this was over at the Next Web at thenextweb.com, and pretty slick on what they expect this to look like. But construction has started today, and I think I read that they would be ready to open in 2 to 3 months, pretty quick. It's a pretty quick turnaround on getting the new Apple Store opened up in New York City. Now, if you want to laugh a little bit, a help question asked on the Apple forums. Here was the question. I'm trying to put a CD into the iPad 2 to play a track, but the slot underneath the screen won't allow me. What can I do? a little nice tech humor there, but... yeah, someone actually tried to, was trying to put a CD into their iPad too. Oh, wow. The response in the help forum was, have you synced your iPad with iTunes after adding your CD content to iTunes library? And, they don't show his response, but, I would have had to have had a double take if I would have read that. Hey, over on device.com. Moving on here, Microsoft wants to help us. They want to help those of you that live in cold climates warm your homes during and office buildings during the winter. Microsoft wants to put a data servers in your building and use the output of those data servers to help heat the building. Now, I know how hot servers can get, and I think this is probably a cool idea for one or two apartments. But all right, stuff gets hot, you know, stuff this is would be designed to keep you warm in the wintertime. But what happens in the summertime when it gets hot? You're going to have to run as much AC as possible to keep them cool. So this doesn't make a lot of sense. But this actually was a suggestion out of a Microsoft research site at research.microsoft.com. And from the homeowner's perspective, a data furnace is equivalent to a typical heating system. A metal cabinet is shipped to the home and added to the ductwork or water pipes. So, hey, you can use that server to warm your house. So it's going to help make surfing the internet faster because you're going to have a data server in your basement. Everything's going to be backed up to your cloud in your basement. Okay, well, we'll see how far this one goes. TSA, boy, oh boy. I'm just going to link to this article. All I can say is if you're traveling with someone that has a handicap issue or is has some sort of... maybe a urine collection bag or something like that, you know, be very aggressive in talking to TSA about what is on that person's person and making sure that they don't do something stupid like bursting a urine collection bag or something like that. TSA has, the same guy has gotten abused twice. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. This is out of the Detroit Free Press. So just crazy, crazy stuff. Hey, let's talk about Hawaii here for a second. And I actually had gotten a couple of responses from some folks here that I knew in Honolulu. I was basically asking, I wanted people to talk to me a little bit about any tech articles, and just some people here in Hawaii responded. And Neens, one of my friends, pointed me to a article where Pacific Business News talks about how a company here in Hawaii called OceanNet is creating a market for onboard Geiger counters. So what they're doing, and this is kind of cool, this is an effort to help lead the effort in Japan to reduce radiation risk. So what they've done is a group of software developers and engineers is teaming up to produce portable Geiger counters that are attached to or integrated with a GPS device that basically they can drive a vehicle around, and just like they're doing with Google Earth and they're getting pictures, they can go ahead and get an idea what's going on a radiation level just by doing air samples and so forth through Japan. So I think this is pretty cool. It's a company here in Honolulu doing this, and it's called OceanNet. So I have a link up in the show notes for you guys to check that out. Something pretty close to that as well, another story that was on this was that when we had our tsunami here, of course, Japan had the big tsunami, and then we had a mini tsunami. But the damage assessment after the, and they call a tsunami here a storm, it's a storm-related issue. The same company, OceanNet, created something called MERCI, which is the Mobile Emergency Response and Command Interface. And what this was first responders were outfitted with iPhones loaded with this application. Instead of pen and paper, the assessor gathered images and filled out FEMA forms directly on their touchscreens. And then that allowed the forms to be completed electronically and immediately sent up to the FEMA processing center so that they would be processed. And they said that they could have, and it took them about 8 days here in Honolulu to do all the assessment of all the damage from the tsunami, and they felt that they could have cut that in half. No, it took them about 14 days, excuse me, March 11th to March 25th. And they said that if the system had been in their hands that day, that they probably could have cut their time in half. So cool stuff going on the technology front. Some companies here in Honolulu doing some cool things. Along with that, of course, we've got the telescopes up in Mauna Kea here in Hawaii, and there's a good article over on Gizmodo talking about the 1.4 gigapixel digital camera that they're using to spot asteroids that are basically potentially heading our way, and they did a tour up there. I'm going to have to see about getting over there and pull some strings here to see if I can get up there at some point and do some special coverage of that. I'd love to do that. I'm here in Hawaii. Why, you know, it seems like a good thing to do, and I'm going to kind of explore that. But the folks here at Gizmodo talked about this monster machine, this 1.4 gigapixel digital camera that they're using for deep space exploration for asteroids. All right, let's talk a little bit on what's going on with Google and their Street View cars. Boy, oh boy. You know, Google already got in trouble over doing some stuff with Wi-Fi that they weren't supposed to be doing. So now it's been determined that the Google Street View cars collected the locations of millions of laptops, cell phones, and other Wi-Fi devices around the world. The cars were only supposed to collect the locations of Wi-Fi access point, but Google also recorded the street addresses and unique identifiers of computers and other devices using those wireless networks, and then made that data publicly available through Google.com just up until a few weeks ago. Apparently, the French Data Protection Authority, known as the Commission, and I'm reading this directly from the CNET website, they confirmed that the Street View cars collected this and, of course, assessed them a fine. Google has not responded to this, but imagine you're walking down the street and it collects information about your mobile device. That to me is like, whoa, you know, what good does that do them? But they say this is probably another coding error. Yeah, right. But I just wondered if this is going to invoke another investigation by the FTC on what Street View has been doing. So it makes you really wonder sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, we're sorry. We collected the data on your cell phone and your laptop and your computer in your house, and we didn't just collect on your Wi-Fi. How fast did these things collect stuff? Did a guy drive by your house at a snail's pace in order to process all that data, or did they have a couple of high powered computers in the back of those vehicles that were sucking all this data down? It seems like an awful lot of data to collect in the time that it took for people for them to drive by a house. And how much data could have they have collected? I guess it depends on what's going on with your PCs too, right? But it makes you go, just a little bit. All right, this is for the budding entrepreneurs in the audience. If you're working on a project and you think you need some money, time is ripe, folks. There's a little bit of a bubble going on right now with funding at tech companies. And the quickest way to get noticed is a site called AngelList. And I think I've talked about this on the show before. It's at angel.co. And about 600 startups have gotten funding. There's about 10,000 companies that have registered. But get this. AngelList now has 2,300 investors that are on the site looking at companies. And the network is directly facilitated, again, between 406 up startup fundraisers and is currently helping with an average of 1 to 2 fundraisers per day. The AngelList website has a number of features that are kind of like social networking stuff, but you can go on there and list your company privately so that only the angels can see it. You pitch your idea on there. And I think this is a pretty cool thing. I really do. So if you're looking for funding for a potential startup, definitely try angel.co. If nothing else, you get your idea in front of the angels and with the potential to be funded. Hey, yesterday, in between my research and what everything else I was doing, I watched the new launch of the Brick Twit Studio. I think that's what they're calling it. Leo Laporte's new studio there in Petaluma, California. And I just want to give a hearty congratulations to Leo and his team. They've done a great job. They have been pace setters. I'm really excited for that team and for Leo and his shows and see where they can take this. I think Leo said they spent $1.3 million in building the studio, outfitting it with all the gear. And they're selling bricks to raise money. And while I'm always wanting you guys to help out here being an insider, I definitely keep in mind if you're a fan of any of Leo's shows and you want to support him, the bricks are offsetting their costs by about 10%. So they're not looking to cover all costs, but their bricks that they are selling will help them raise, I guess, about $120,000. And so they've done some great stuff. The first, I watched the first twit, which was being recorded there. And big congratulations to that team. And I wish Leo the best of luck. And keep innovating, Leo. I think it's going to, it's going to pay off well for you in the future. And I'm excited to see where it goes. It's going to help us all. It's going to help every content creator that's out there, every new media person, anyone that's doing online streaming, anyone that's creating content today, whether it be video or audio. So I'm very excited with what the Twit team's doing and wish them the best of luck. On here too, an issue that's been happening on Google Plus. Google's basically pretty heavy-handed when it comes to people not using their real name or trying to make their profile their handle. You guys know that I go by Geek News on Twitter and everywhere else, but they don't want me putting Geek News on my Google Plus profile. They want me putting Todd Cochran. So that's what I've done. I haven't been affected, but Scoble reached out to, and I'm going to destroy his name, but he's one of the top dogs over there at Google. His name is Vic Gontora, And he basically wanted to know what the heck was going on with the suspensions, and was Google being too heavy-handed with the violations and shutting people's access off. And they admitted that they've made some mistakes and are looking way to improve the sign-up process. And they're going to be, you know, making sure they haven't cut people off incorrectly. But a lot of well-known people were getting shut down. I don't know how they're all going to get through this, but it definitely has been a, you know, Google Plus has got a couple black eyes here over the past 4 or 5 days. But I will say this. We did our Saturday morning tech show in a hangout, had a lot of fun with it, had a number of guys on that were talking tech. With a few more improvements of the hangout feature in Google Plus, I could see us doing the Saturday morning tech show in the hangout. I got to figure out a way to get the screen to scale a little bigger. But other than that, it worked out fantastic. The technology worked really, really well. But we'll see how Google handles additional stuff in the future. And we'll definitely be keeping an eye on them. Hey, before we move on to our last series of topics here, before we wrap the show up, man, we got a lot more stuff to get through. I want to talk about GoToMeeting for a second. And really, GoToMeeting has been a mainstay sponsor here at Geek News Central for a very long time. And it's a product that I use on a daily basis. Matter of fact, I was using it twice today. And what I want you guys to do is really consider trying GoToMeeting. You know, if you've ever had to do a meeting over the phone where you're trying to describe something to a client that maybe they didn't get the download of a proposal, you know how bad that can go. And it really makes it easier when everyone's working on the same page, especially when they can see your computer screen. You know, basically you're all looking at the same information at the same time, and there's no chance of any discrepancy of sharing of data. So really, if your reputation's at stake, if you're worried about anything going wrong, you need to use a reliable online meeting service. And GoToMeeting simply works. It just works right out of the box. GoToMeeting is so easy to use that you'll have your first meetings running in seconds. You see for yourself how easy it is by getting a free trial. And this is real easy. You visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter the promo code podcast. Again, go over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. They're going to ask you to enter some information there and enter the promo code podcast. Get that first free 30-day trial. Use it and tell me that it hasn't changed. I challenge you to tell me that it didn't help you in doing online meetings and doing business. I challenge you. I really do. So go out there and give it a try. And we thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. Again, GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. All right, let's go ahead and move into the last series of articles tonight over on ReadWriteWeb.com. There's a report out that web applications are attacked every 2 minutes. And I think we see a fair amount of attack traffic coming into my sites and into Raw Voices sites. But I don't know if it's every 2 minutes, but they feel that web applications, by data they're saying, are probed as much as 27 times an hour. That's a crazy amount. At peak of some attacks, some web applications see probes of up to 25,000 times an hour, or 7 times per second. And this research gives concrete data to what government and enterprise users have known for a while about their networks being under attack. And I was reading about this, and a lot of it's being attacked with botnets. And, you know, why doesn't the industry get together with internet service providers and be able to detect this traffic and get these machines that are causing the issue off the network? The United States makes up the majority of the attacks, 61% of the attacks originate in the United States. The second largest segment is China, followed by Sweden, and then UK, and then other countries. So, you know, it's huge. And then the number of attacks are like SQL injections, directory searching, some XSS, and that's basically some super technical programming stuff, but you know, they go after known holes. But seems like we as a country and as the industry could get these botnets under control. It really, really could. Well, Google, you know, has basically made all these companies change how they have their apps on the App Store. So what's happened is Amazon, Condé Nast have really rethought their Apple's app strategy. And at this point, they're sending updates in on their apps. No longer are you going to be able to buy something directly from your Amazon app. You'll still be able to consume your content, but you're not going to be able to buy a book for your Kindle or for your Kindle app. You're going to have to go over to Amazon.com via the browser and do it there. But basically, Amazon, Barnes & Noble have all removed stores from their iOS applications as of yesterday, as well as many hyperlinks to their mentions of their online stores. So, you know, this is big. And when it's all said and done here, Apple's iBooks will be the only iOS app that will allow you to buy eBooks directly from within the app. This has got to have some sort of, at some point, anti-competitive stuff has to come in here. But it is interesting. The comments that are being made and basically what Amazon said today was, we wanted to let you know that we've updated our Kindle app for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. The big change is that you can now use the Kindle app to read over 100 Kindle newspapers and magazines, including The Economist, as well as share favorite page batches from reading via Facebook and Twitter. In order to comply with the recent policy change by Apple, we've removed the Kindle store link from within the app that opened Safari and took you to the Kindle store. You can still shop as you always have. Just open Safari and go to Amazon.com/Kindle Store. If you want, you can bookmark that URL. Your Kindle books will be delivered automatically to your iPad, iPhone, or iTouch just as before. And I agreed. They summed it up perfectly on this Wired article. It's just putting lipstick on a pig. And we all as consumers are the one losing here. Now imagine, and I'm moving quick here because I got a lot of topics to get through before the end of the show. Imagine you're home kicking back, and all of a sudden, 30 SWAT officers invade your house. Well, apparently, cyberbullying expert Perry Afab, it was basically had the police call. Someone spoofed the number, called the police, and said that someone in the house had just murdered 5 people. And so SWAT raided the person's house, kicked in some doors, shot some flashbangs through some windows. Luckily, no one was at home. But boy, now they're calling the police on people. Crazy stuff, really is. Hey, if you want to search Twitter, twitter.com/search, see what's happening right now. This is search results are no different than search results right from the Twitter main page. So nothing has changed there whatsoever. So just so you know that. It to me, it's kind of useless, this search. There's no innovation there on Twitter's part at all. Article over on Slashdot, and this is for those of you thinking about going for your master's degree. There's an article out by a gal named Laura Papano. She wrote that the master's degree, once derided as the consolation prize for failing to finish a PhD, as a way to kill time waiting out economic, or as a way to kill time waiting out economic downturns, is now the fastest growing degree with 657,000 awarded in 2009, more than doubled in the 80s. Today, nearly 225 people aged 25 and over have masters, about the same proportion that had a bachelor's or higher in 1960s. So they're saying that the master's degree is now the benchmark. You know what it is? Yeah, they're saying that because everybody and their brother is going to college. And they're turning out a bunch of people that have bachelor's degrees. They don't have a clue. So they're saying, okay, you got to do that extra year, 18 months to get that master's degree. And then you'll be considered cream of the crop. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Maybe they'd better do a better job teaching people bachelor's degrees. This may put a smile on my face today. Iran has... basically, had so much trouble over that Stuxnet worm that they had to replace all their centrifuges. Aw, isn't that too bad? It says that the Stuxnet was not purged from Iran's nuclear sites, and the country was never able to return its uranium enrichment efforts to normal operations. Aw, too bad. And so anyway, they're saying that they're buying a whole new sets of centrifuges. So the folks that makes those viruses, guess they're going to have to get busy. Hey, NASA has selected a Mars rover landing site. The next Mars rover will land in a large crater that features a mountain. The rover will climb. Project scientists announced Friday that the Mars Science Laboratory, MSL, known as Curiosity, will land in Gale Crater near the planet's equator. The crater is over 150 kilometers in diameter, featuring a central mountain with that are about 5 kilometers high. So MSL is scheduled to launch late November and could land at Gale Center in August of 2012. So that'll keep us excited and keep us seeing what's going on with the space program until then. If you're hoping to have a Netflix integration with Facebook, it's a no-go in the United States. It's being reported that the reason they can't integrate Facebook into Netflix and you can show what you're watching and sharing, there's a Video Privacy Protection Act of 1988. It's a law that forbids the disclosure of people's video rental information. Companies that violate the law are liable up to $2,500 for each infraction. In other words, they don't want them sharing you when you pick up an adult video with your neighbors that you're renting adult videos. That's the reason why they can't integrate into Facebook and, you know, basically show what you're renting, or you can't share that information even voluntarily unless you type it yourself. MPAA is afraid to disclose secret piracy strategies. In their ongoing battle with file hosting services Hotfile, 5 MPAA studios have asked the court to disallow Hotfile access to information on their anti-piracy strategies. What's happened here is that Hotfile has said, hey, we want to know what your strategy is and part of the discovery process in this lawsuit. We want to know what your methods are, how you're determining that we have copyrighted materials on our service. How are you detecting this? How are you finding out what people are doing stuff they're not supposed to? What techniques are you using? And the studio said, oh, we don't want to tell you how we're spying on people. We don't want to tell you how we're determining that. That, my friends, would be some cool information to figure out what they're doing and how they're sniffing around and figuring out who to send these C&Ds to and how they figure out who to sue. That's what we need to find out and how they're doing that. But they don't want to share that with the court because then it becomes public knowledge, right? Hey, you know that big court case that was going on with Jamie Thomas Rosett that was, there was a $1.5 million file sharing verdict. Well, judges slashed that to $54,000. And it helps if I take that ad off the screen too, yeah? I'm really trying to promote Citrix GoToMeeting here. So nice to leave that up there. Sorry about that. So anyway, they got their money's worth, didn't they? That $1.5 million sharing verdict slashed to $54,000. How many millions did they spend to prosecute that? So anyway, they're not very happy. Hey, have you been in McDonald's lately and used their free Wi-Fi? I've never used Wi-Fi in McDonald's. Matter of fact, I don't think I've been in a McDonald's that I even noticed they had free Wi-Fi. But they give you a little handout. And I'm going to show this to you. And you guys are going to get a kick out of this because they show you how to set up your Wi-Fi. And boy, I tell you, this is a poster child of a promotion for a Mac. So on the handout, you've got two pages. The first page is how to set up Wi-Fi with XP, and it goes through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 steps. And they show you how to set up Wi-Fi for Vista, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, show you a bunch of figures, 6, 7 steps. And then they show you how to set up for Mac, 1, 2, 3. Oh, only 3. 3 things you have to do. So you got to admit, sometimes Microsoft could help us do things a lot easier, couldn't they? All right, the last article of tonight is an awesome one. Get your checkbooks out, get your credit cards out. Those of you that are fanboys, you're going to want one of these. And I know I'm going to order one. I wouldn't be a geek if I didn't. So here is the absolute perfect birthday present, the person that you know that says super nerd. It's an unlock doormat. It's basically a doormat that has slide to unlock on the actual doormat itself. $59. Or say they're sold out, but they're going to have them on back order. Perfect entrance into an office. So this is totally cool. Gotta have one. Absolutely. All right, let me go ahead here and bounce into the email real quick, because I do have a number of emails that have come in, and we'll get through those and get everyone out of here and hopefully finish on time. Again, congratulations to Mason Manny out of Fargo, North Dakota. Congratulations on winning the Roku. And if you have a chance of winning a Roku, again, follow me on Google Plus or have me add you to Google Plus. Let me know and send me the email on what your user account is over there. We'll get you added. I want to thank Ron. He says, hey, Todd, please enter me to win the Roku. But he also says, hey, I'm excited that you launched the Carbonite campaign. I'll be using your promo code and signing up for the service this week. Mahalo, Ron. Ron, rock on, baby. Everyone go out there and get that Carbonite trial. Do it, okay? It'll change the way you back up your machines. Got an email here from Deb, and she's out of Grand Rapids. She says, hey, Todd, please enter me to win a Roku 2. I'd be very excited to add this piece to our home entertainment area. I'm still trying to figure out the online offers and which appliances to go with for online TV watching. We have a Sony Blu-ray, and it has several channels on it, but they don't seem to update, and I can't find you on it. Yes, we're not on that. So, Deb, exactly what are you trying to do? What do you want to have access to? Do you want to get Netflix? Do you want to get access to podcasts? You know, the inexpensive Roku is $59. It's really a great deal. You pick one of those up, start with that. If you don't like the Roku after a little while, really, it's a relatively low-cost starter kit to get started watching alternative content. And a lot of your, you know, the favorite shows you probably watch on the net are there. And you can watch movies, and you can get access to music and everything else. So I definitely... And sorry you didn't win, but definitely recommend the Roku. Of course, we got the Tech Podcast channel over there and Blueberry as well. And I picked some of the contest entrants that sent me emails. It says, this came from Nicholas out of Georgetown, Kentucky. He said, hey, been listening to your show for a couple of years now. You're doing a great, great job. I really like the recent changes you've made to the show. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Nicholas. We appreciate that. Of course, if I don't keep screwing up the beginning of the show, right? Got an email here from Seth. He says, hey, Todd, I've been ready to enter the contest. He says, P.S., I'm a longtime listener and just recently signed up for the newsletter. I've been listening since before we retired from the Navy. I believe I even heard the first time you talked about the infamous Blue Man, yet as it has been so many years and you have brought up the story many times, I'm unsure if it was the original airing of the event or a rerun. Well, we would have talked about that when we were still doing the show on historic Ford Island. Also, hey, Bob out of Portland. You entered the Romulus contest. Were you thinking about Star Wars or Star Trek? I guess Romulus would be Star Trek. So I had to laugh when I saw that come in. Of course, got a Google Plus mention from Jeffrey. And, you know, Jeffrey, keep your head up, buddy. You know, keep your head up and try to focus on the positive. I know it's tough, but keep hanging in there. And thanks for being a fan of the show. Got an email here from Michael out of San Lorado, California. He said, listening to the show on my iPod Touch. I've been listening since before show 64. Thanks for hanging on past show 64. It's actually 69, I think. I even have your book. I hope to be the winner. Sorry you weren't the winner, but you got another shot at it here. And the final email tonight was from Richard out of the UK. He said, hey, Todd, I used my first promo code on GoDaddy, 2 SSL certificates and 1 economy web hosting. I used to pay £40, which was $56 per SSL certificate per year. Now, by acquiring an SSL certificate through GoDaddy and using Geek SSL 12, I pay £9.30 or $12.99 US. He said that's a huge savings. Also acquired the economy hosting using Geek 77, a 3-month economy to test things out. So let us know how it goes on that test. And he says, by the way, have you moved? You used to say in your announcements you were overlooking Greater Oahu. Nowadays, you say you're overlooking Greater Honolulu. I basically were in Oahu, and we're overlooking Greater Honolulu. It's all the same. I guess I depend on how I want to say it. No, I haven't moved. We're still in the same spot. But anyway, thanks for your, Richard, thanks for your comments. It's greatly appreciated. So let me look at what else. Did I have anything else starred? I think that was it. Okay, huge. I mean, huge number of you that sent in a contest. I was blown away, and I'm sure we'll have as many for the next contest. Follow me on Google Plus. Send me your Google Plus address, and I'll follow you back. And if you don't have a Google Plus account, let me know. We'll get you one. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Hopefully on show on Thursday, I can get this thing dialed in straight from the get-go. But it's been my pleasure to bring you this edition of the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Till next time, take care and aloha.